is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Nature's Pavilion. Nature's Pavilion is a natural food market and vitamin shop located at 564 Route 23 in North Pompton Plains, New Jersey. You can go to their website to get tons of information on a healthy lifestyle by visiting www.naturespavilion.net. Again, that's www.naturespavilion.net today.
Breaking news from the medical world. Ancient Orchestra by Tom Casella has been recommended by medical doctors for the effective treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder and chronic pain relief. This is the world's first medical doctor-recommended sound healing album ever created. Ancient Orchestra is a safe, natural, and effective alternative sound healing treatment for those in pain, mentally or physically. Learn more and sample free at ancientorchestra.com. Ancient Orchestra has been called the most powerful healing music ever created and recommended by massage therapists, chiropractors, yoga, Reiki, and meditation masters, ministers, teachers, and medical doctors worldwide for effective and enhanced treatment. Please find all Ancient Orchestra albums on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, YouTube, and digital streaming services worldwide, plus ancientorchestra.com.
Welcome back to autismradio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at autismdonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I'd also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on with us today. We have a lot of information to cover this week. This is a topic that's been discussed a lot in the autism community, and it's a very confused topic at times, misunderstood, or I should say. Is the difference between apraxia and autism. Most people may or may not know, but autism and apraxia are actually two entirely different neurological disorders, which can occur in a child independently of one another or even together in the same child. A lot of the other autism symptoms can impact and or impair many different symptoms, behaviors, and thought patterns. Apraxia also occurs when a child struggles to plan and carry out a lot of voluntary physical movements. In terms of like gross motor skills, apraxia may impact a child's capabilities to stand up, to sit in a chair, to catch a ball, and other fine motor skills. Like a child may not be able to zip their jacket or button a shirt, even write or print, or possibly even point to an object. And I think this is where the confusion lies, is that children with apraxia can struggle to produce sound patterns to make words or even coordinate various speech mechanisms to make individual sounds, speech sounds, such as like the difference between a G and the B sound or the hum of an M sound. Even when the sound is modeled, a child with apraxia may not be able to mimic the same sounds. So what happens is the symptoms cross over into autism. But there's very big, important differences between the two, you know, conditions, because, when a child has apraxia only, it's only motor functioning and it's not any social, emotional skills that are impacted, which is not often the case with autism. So I know, Lynn, you were going to talk a little bit about motor skills, just to, you know, clarify some of that, for motor planning and some of the organization.
Well, motor planning is used, is the brain directing the body to be able to sequence and perform motor tasks. And what a lot of people don't realize with autism is that it is not only a speech disorder or a language processing disorder, it's also sometimes motor planning comes into play. Children with autism, the reason most children with autism and have sensory processing issues often require excessive amount of practice to be able to learn these tasks. And it depends on adequate functioning of the sensory system, including vestibular, tactile, and other functioning of these systems. Children have a hard time knowing where their bodies are in relation to other objects in the environment. The problem with motor planning is the child's ability to learn new motor tasks, but also impairs his ability to sequence and plan motor actions. This can impact many areas of functioning, including materials, organization of space and time, and even organization of thought. And I think that that's what a lot of people don't understand. And again, I'm always advocating for the severe ends, is that kids with autism have a hard time sometimes doing the simplest things, and even though the directions are told to them, it takes them a while not only to process the planning, but for the brain is affected, the whole neurological system of the child is affected. So their motor planning might take them a lot longer than a typical child who might learn it in one time or be able to follow a one-step instruction. So I don't know if a lot of people are aware of that aspect of that, the autism affects the whole neurological system and the whole brain and that whole area. The brain has to tell the body what to do, and in a child with autism, it affects that, and it takes them that much longer to process instructions.
Right. You know, like talking about apraxia and autism, you know, it can be difficult to tell one from another, because like some symptoms could be verbal apraxia, or it's actually known as oral motor apraxia. And the reason for this is that the children with the condition can be very aware of their struggle to communicate verbally, and therefore they actually choose to avoid even having to talk and staying away from social situations.
Right.
In the case of verbal apraxia, if you play with your child and don't demand speech from him or her, you might actually find they begin playing actively, engaging others in play.
Right.
Because a child can experience a lot of relief from being able to socialize in contact with others without being required to talk, which is actually very, very frustrating for them, and can create a fear of failure for a lot of these children. Because what has happened is, and recent studies actually, Lynn, there's been a lot of new information about apraxia, which is relatively rare as a speech disorder. But although they're saying now they're finding more findings, because they're actually saying it can affect up to 65% of children with autism.
Mm-hmm.
For the speech disorder. And it's kind of important, because apraxia really is a very specific type of therapy, and it's not part of a lot of the autism intervention programs. So like a lot of children with apraxia will have a lot of difficulty, as we know, coordinating, you know, their muscles, but especially like their tongue, their lips, their mouth, their jaw,
right.
Which, you know, they can't use accurately to produce the speech sounds.
Right.
So each time they go to say the same word, it might come out differently. And a lot of times the parents will have difficulty understanding them, of course, and they become frustrated.
Apraxia definitely is a special. I remember being told that apraxia required a certain type of speech therapist, one who was familiar with motor planning, and it's sort of different than a typical speech therapist. They have to have a certain, they have to have a certain type of certification where they use all of the senses, because apraxia is a weakness in motor planning, a disconnect in the brain that interferes with the child's ability to just do it. Whereas a regular speech teacher would maybe, like you said, imitate the sound, but a child with apraxia or with autism may not be able to imitate the sound. They're repeating the movements that come naturally to other children, a child with apraxia struggles with them. So we take for granted the movements and timing involved in catching or kicking a ball, speaking words or sentences, or tying a shoe, but children with apraxia have to be taught each in smaller steps that make it up to a larger task. So it is often confused with autism. A child with apraxia doesn't necessarily have autism, But yet there are a lot of kids with autism who do have apraxia. So that, and like you said, the difference would be the social interaction and the willingness to engage. Whereas, you know, and that, especially when a child is young, it's really hard to tell what's what unless you have a professional, look at the child and decide. A speech therapist or a professional doctor would be able to tell what exactly is going on with that child.
And also they find a lot of the research shows that sometimes it's misdiagnosed very frequently at times.
Which one, the apraxia?
Yeah, the apraxia is okay. Sometimes it's not diagnosed, and they diagnose the child with autism, and then they're doing the wrong intervention. And obviously it's going to cause more struggles and more delays for that child. Because they did the study. They took 30 children, ages 15 months old to 5 years, seen at a developmental communication clinic. And what they did is they followed up testing, showed 64% of the children initially diagnosed with autism also had apraxia, and 37% of those children initially diagnosed with apraxia also had autism. So by contrast, the apraxia occurs in just 1 out of 2 out of 1,000 children in the general population, whereas autism affects 1 in 68. So apraxia is a lot less, although it is prominent, though, also.
Right, right.
So they're finding that, you know, it was a very small study, but it just shows how commonly this overlap could occur. And obviously both conditions, as we know, will improve with early intervention, but they warrant a very different intervention.
Right.
In particular, you know, they emphasize that nonverbal children diagnosed with either autism or apraxia should really continue to be screened for the other condition until they start talking.
Mm.
So that's kind of interesting, you know.
Yeah.
There might be a lot of parents out there that might be like, oh, you know what? My son was never diagnosed with apraxia. I wonder if he has that. And then maybe you go to a specialist and, you know, find a good speech and language specialist and see if maybe that is part of the child's issues, you know.
Right, right.
Because they say that a lot of these specially trained speech pathologists that work with apraxia can get these children to speak a lot of times.
Right. Yes. I remember having a speech therapist who worked in a hospital, and she worked with people who had strokes. And after the strokes, they had difficulty with motor planning. So that type of therapist was familiar with apraxia and could do that type of speech therapy. So, again, that's another type of issue involving the brain and the nervous system, where the brain is not able to tell the mouth what to do, so they need a special type of training to do that.
Right, exactly. So I mean, it's an important thing to talk about, because, you know, in both motor apraxia and autism, you know, obviously children will show social interaction issues, but in the case of motor apraxia, it's normally because they are not capable of performing the physical movements that allow them to access to others. Usually motor apraxia won't usually make a child want to avoid social interaction altogether, such as falling to make eye contact or specifically moving away from other people. And it's very easy to see why there's a lot of confusion between apraxia and autism, especially considering a lot of children with those conditions that also both exhibit signs of reactive to sensations. However, there's differences between the two, and it's important to speak, obviously, to a doctor or a specialist if you're unsure. And I think that's why it's really important. I know this was a topic near and dear to your heart, that kind of doesn't get talked about a lot. You know, you don't hear a lot about apraxia, and most people don't even know what it is.
Right.
So hopefully, you know, by talking about this, we're shedding some light out there that, you know, some child might not even have autism. They might have apraxia, and
exactly.
They can't speak.
And also, I remember struggling, and I've heard from other people struggle when their child is nonverbal to even get speech therapy. And what I would say to those people is to advocate for speech therapy, even though your child is nonverbal. They'll say to you, "Well, you're not entitled to speech therapy because your child's not even talking yet." But you can get a speech therapist who may be able to get your child to start talking at a young age. So I think it is critical to get somebody in there to evaluate your child and work with them and see. To say that a child doesn't need speech therapy because they're nonverbal, to me, doesn't make any sense. But I have been told that, and I know of other people that have been told that in the past, and that's not always the case. A speech therapist could be vital to getting that child to talk.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree with you. And we've seen, you know, I've talked to parents that, you know, for years were struggling, and then they got the proper speech therapist, and next thing you know, their child starts to talk again.
Right.
So it's pretty amazing, you know. But, you know, it's important, like I said, to kind of explain this, because a lot of parents are not educated. They don't know what it is, and they never heard of it, you know, and it's important. And it also shows how a lot of kids have both, you know. That's the other thing.
That's the thing that's confusing. Yeah, a lot of kids with autism have apraxia. Right.
But
and
you
then
see,
again, the kids with apraxia are not necessarily autistic. So
right.
That's,
exactly.
That's,
so that's where the confusion lies. And
right.
Hopefully, we clarified that a little bit and gave you guys some information on the, you know, the difference between the two and what to do, you know, to see if maybe your child has. Because, you know, listen, I mean, you may have a great speech therapist that diagnosed your child with autism, but maybe they missed the apraxia, maybe.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's very possible. You know, so I think sometimes it's not a bad idea to get a reevaluation and maybe find another therapist to go to and have them, you know, have your child, you know, diagnosed again, you know.
Yeah, it can never hurt to get more than one opinion. I totally agree.
You know, I think sometimes a lot of parents, the first diagnosis, okay, that's it, and we just go ahead and we just do what we're told, you know, and sometimes that's not always the best for your child. I mean, it's not, and it's not the parents' fault, and I want the parents to feel guilty about that, but, I mean, we're all so busy and overwhelmed as it is, and it's just sometimes it's very difficult to deal with that, but sometimes you have to, you know, think outside the box and say, you know what, I would like to get my child re-diagnosed, you know, and maybe go to somebody else, you know, a different doctor or a different therapist, and just kind of get a different view on things, because you never know. They might hold the key to unlock your child's success for the future. You just don't know.
Right. You only need one. That's very true. You need one person to get through, or one person who believes in your child besides you, and you never know the results. And that's definitely a very good point. I just want to say, as far as the motor planning too, and I, just so that the public is aware, it may seem that the child is ignoring directions given to them, but they're most likely not doing the requested activity because it is really, really hard for them. They have difficulty getting the message from their brains to their bodies to perform the requested activity. And that's just, especially with the severe end of the spectrum, I think that a lot of times either the parent or a relative or something is saying, oh, this child's being bad, they're not listening to me. Sometimes the child cannot process, and the body cannot do what they are being told to do. And I think that that's really an important part of autism that people don't understand. It's not just a language. We're talking about apraxia. That's obviously the language part of it. But we also have motor planning as far as the physical body. And that definitely affects all areas of the body, the whole nervous system. And sometimes the waves don't get to the brain, and it takes them longer to process directions. And that's why it's hard for them to function in society.
Yeah, no, it's very true. That's very true, and a very good point. You know, it's very important information, you know, to get that out there to the families, Lynn, for sure.
Right.
You know, one of the things I want to talk about, and this is a hot topic that was coming up on social media a little bit, about preparing your child for haircuts when your child has special needs. And I don't know about you personally, but I know for us that was kind of a nightmare. You know, you come near my son with the scissor right away, boom, that arm comes up and it blocks you, and he wants nowhere near him, you know.
Right.
And then the other thing is the buzzer. You know, you use a buzzer to try to give your child a buzz cut. As soon as they hear that buzzing, it can, you know, send them into, you know, a meltdown very easily. So this has been a hard thing. And actually, you know, we'll cover it again next week a little bit because we're going to put this out there. But, you know, we want to ask this question to our listeners. How does your child deal with, you know, haircuts and getting their nails trimmed? Because, you know, these are very, you know, important things that can be very, very tough on parents, especially to moms, you know, because the moms are usually dealing with this, taking their kids or right. trying to cut their hair themselves. You know, because a lot of children in general obviously don't like to get their hair cut or their nails trimmed at all, or even try to wipe their nose or their face, you know. But, you know, obviously a child with autism, this can be really, you know, the personal grooming rituals can be horribly uncomfortable experience for both the child and for the parent trying to do this.
Right.
Because a lot of autistic children obviously process a lot of information very differently, including sensation of just cutting their hair or their nails. They can actually feel pain, believe it or not. No matter how many times, a lot of times people plead with their child, you know, that you're not hurting them, but, you know, you might cut their fingernails and they just have a major meltdown. You know, and the same thing goes with the buzzers. You know, you go around your child's ear, you're trying to buzz around the child's ear, you know, it's not working. I'm fortunate enough personally, my son allows me to cut his hair. I'm not going to say he does it 100% willingly, but he does a pretty darn good job allowing me to cut his hair. And I use a buzzer. I'm by any means far from being a barber, trust me. But I use, you know, I use the tools that have the, you know, the make it very simple and streamlined, and then his hair doesn't look too bad. So actually it comes out pretty good. And I've been doing it for years because we took him to a barber once and he just basically threw himself on the floor and, that was it. It was over.
Right.
And so we left within 5 minutes. We didn't even really try. We tried putting him back. It was one of those little fire trucks, you know, back in the day when you know, you put the kid on the fire truck. They loved to be in the fire truck, so it would distract them, and you would cut their hair. That didn't work. He climbed out of the fire truck, jumped off the fire truck, and it was screaming, and it was no good. So that was the end of going to the barber for us personally. But, you know, I'm able to do his hair myself, and, you know, it makes it a lot easier. But there's a lot of people around there now in areas knowing that, you know, this can be a real challenge. And stylists are actually starting to realize, you know, as more kids are being diagnosed with autism, trying to find ways to help parents, you know, make their haircuts a little easier. And there's some salons that are doing some great things. There's one in Rehoboth Beach in Delaware that's doing a really good job that actually will even get on the floor and you know, work with the child and cut their hair wherever they'll sit and work with them and take that time. So, you know, we want to hear from our listeners. You know, use our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777 if you want to share one of your stories about taking your child to get their hair cut or just cutting their knee, you know, or their nails, you know, finger and toenails. And, you know, share some of your experiences, some good and bad. And maybe if you have some tips for some other parents, it can be very helpful, too. Because a lot of times, you know, you might hear another parent, like I always say this again, Lynn, all the time, you know, a parent shares their story of success may actually help you be successful with your child. And that's kind of what we try to do here. And also you can use our email at questions@autismradio.org. You can email us if you have a great story to share about one of your experiences. We'd love to hear from you guys. Also, we'll put it on Facebook and Twitter as well. And that will be our question of the week, is about sharing some of your stories about preparing for haircuts for your child that has autism. So I think it's a good topic. And I think, you know, it can help a lot of parents because I know some kids have super long hair. They look like were David Lee Roth back in 1984, you know? So,
yeah, we all remember those days of running after our kids in the salon, so.
Yeah, exactly. So it can be very challenging and
very hard. Yeah, very hard.
But like I said, with a little preparation, there are, you know, some experiences out there that people can help you with. Even your school, a lot of times you can talk to your school. You know,
yeah, they'll do a program ahead of time sometimes before, like an assimilation before you go to take the child.
You know, you can even call your teacher, you know, your son or daughter's teacher and say, you know, I'm having some trouble. He does not cooperate at all going to get his hair cut. And sometimes they'll even have someone come to the school and do haircuts. I've seen schools that have done that. So there's a lot of options, and I just don't want the parents, and like you said, this is our big goal and our mission, and Hope Saves the Day is we never want the parents to feel alone. If they're dealing with an issue or they're struggling, we want you to reach out for us, and that's why we have our toll-free number. So please use that number at 1-877-HOPE-777 if you have something you're struggling with, because if we don't have the answer, we'll get the answers for you from a professional in the field. And, you know, like I said, you share your story. There might be a parent that went through the same problem you're going through, and they may be able to help you because as a community, we try to help each other. And that's really what it's all about, Lynn, you know, at the end of the day. So, you know, so we'll see. So we're going to put that out there, and we're hoping to hear from you guys. So, like I said, don't be strangers. Use that email, questions@autismradio.org. Also, our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777. And don't be afraid to be part of the show. We would love to hear from you guys. So, you know, we're looking forward to hearing from you. Also want to put this out there. We just put it on social media the other day, started sharing with people, getting a lot of response already. Our second annual casino night is booked for September the 24th. Now you say to yourself, wow, that's far away. I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow. Well, put it on your calendar. September 24th, come out and support Casino Night at the Bethwood in Totowa, New Jersey. It's going to be a great night out, a lot of fun, food, you know, open bar. It's going to be a lot of special guests there. It's just a good time and a chance to win some great prizes and also for help families for a great cause and make a difference in the autism community. So hopefully you guys will come out there. You know, tickets should be going on sale shortly, but like I said, look at your calendar, put it on there, September 24th. It's a Saturday, so it's not a Friday. Last year we went on a Friday. This year we're doing a Saturday because some of you just told us that you couldn't make it because it was Friday night and you had other things, and you said Saturday would be better. So we booked a Saturday night, so put it on your calendar today, guys, and sure to join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it, even though it seems like it's far away. So, before we know it, it'll be here. But we want to thank our listeners, Lynn, as always, for continued support here on the program on Hope Saves the Day. And we'd like to wish everybody a great week, as always. And remember, until next time, everybody, Hope Saves the Day. Goodbye, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand. What is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. Remember, hope saves the day. I want to show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world. Like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me, yeah. Then you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me stepped in.